thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Today we're talking about something that I've been wrestling with over the last couple weeks. I've had to process through some things. I've had to ask myself some questions, and I don't know if you've ever done that in your journey. Has anyone here ever asked questions? And you're okay, good. I'm not alone. Because questions are a part of following Jesus. They're a part of following God. They're the journey of this thing that we call the Christian faith. And I want to talk to you about something today that in our world, and sometimes even in our church, it's a simple, very basic, but I believe powerful, impactful topic. That if we realize the substance of it or the power of it, it will completely change our perspective towards life and the world we live in. I need a perspective change. I don't know about you, but I need a perspective change. Through our journeys of life and through the things of life, at times it feels as though our perspective is wrong. And when our perspective is wrong, all of a sudden things in our heart begin to shift. You can feel it. Things start to get under your skin a little bit more. Or things start to bother you a little bit more. Traffic just seems to just make you mad, and it maybe hasn't always. Or the small discussions have now turned into a fight, or other things that once you could walk through and deal with it have become something more than what they probably should be because our perspective is off. And I believe if we look at this topic this morning, we allow the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of a simple passage to transform us and change us, hopefully you will walk out of here a new, fresh person with a new perspective. That's what I'm hoping for me. I want to talk to you today about this word called hope. It's powerful. And hope that only comes through a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. In just a moment, we're going to look at Romans chapter 15, verse 13. So if you want, you can go ahead and turn there. We're going to read that in just a couple minutes. You know, we're in an incredible season of living in incredible times. And what a privilege it is. And I really believe this. What a privilege it is to be stewarding this time with you and our church family. Because you don't have to look very far in our world or even in our lives to find that we are in a world that's in desperate need of hope. Wouldn't you agree? We're in a world that is in desperate need for something that gives a reason, that gives an eternal view. And we don't have to look far. You just need to turn on the news just for a few minutes. You just need to read the paper. You just need to get online. And you begin to be confronted with things that you say, there is no hope. There's never been a time in my life, and I was thinking through this, there's never been a time that I've been alive that seems more in need of hope, but even seems more out of control. The world is out of control. It feels desolate. It feels unstoppable. It feels like the world is a spinning top that's heading towards the edge of the Grand Canyon, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. That's what it feels like right now. And it's not just Christians who feel this. You can look anywhere in any news articles and you can find that there are people in the world that this world once gave them a false sense of security and safety are questioning everything. They're vulnerable. What's going on in the world? I mean, you just take a look. There's ISIS who is rampantly moving across the Middle East and their evil, dominating tyranny of the Middle East and what they're doing. There's everything that's happening. It's over and over and over again. But I want to look at something different this morning. I want us to discover what's lying beneath the surface of everything around us. And I want us to access a true reality of hope in our lives and in our world. And maybe for you here today, it's not just the world that you feel is out of control. Maybe you feel like your own life is out of control. The things maybe seem a little hopeless or seem to be heading towards the edge of the cliff. My heart is that we would leave here today with a fresh sense of hope. As I looked at this weekend, I honestly really wrestled through this. Because I really believe that God wanted to speak something to us on hope. I ministered on hope several weeks ago in our Wednesday night service, and I felt like God wanted to say something to us, and our weekend services abounded. And as I looked at this, I thought, how do I communicate this message of hope for everyone in the room, for everyone on a journey, for everyone doing their best to follow Jesus and live overcoming lives? Because each of us are in different places. And each of us need a fresh revelation of where our hope really is. Because in this room, we have people who are facing financial crisis. We have people who are succeeding and prospering financially. We have people who are worrying about children, are worried about themselves. Some of you are anxious about life, anxious about the future, our health, the world. Some of you have a great sense of confidence. Some of you are overwhelmed and can't even articulate why you actually are. Some of you are on the verge of great victories. You're on a mountaintop. This has been the greatest year of your life. And some of you, you're on a great point of despair. And you would have to say, this has been the worst year of your life. How does hope look like to each of us in each of our journey and right where we're at? Does the hope of God, is it really powerful enough to meet you right where you're at in every individual's life, in every circumstance? I believe it is. We find a small passage of scripture toward the end of the book of Romans. It's written by a man named Paul to a group of believers that, funny enough, he had never been yet to this group of believers in Rome. Many people believe the church began in Rome because Peter preached the gospel to the 3,000 folks right after the day of Pentecost. And in the scripture it says there were some there who were from Rome. Many people believe those are the ones who got saved and then went back to Rome and established a church. But Paul writes to them. He's encouraging them. He writes to them to lift them up, to infuse hope into them. And I just want to encourage you, if you've never read through the book of Romans, let me just encourage you to do so. Though we're not looking at the whole book, I want to whet your appetite for the power of this cool, incredible book that is like, I love it. I can read it, devour it, pray through it, then read it again and it challenges me. If you've never done it, let me encourage you to do so. Martin Luther, the pioneer of the Protestant of our Protestant faith, introduces the book of Romans this way. And I'm reading this so it whets your appetite, so hopefully it does. He said this, epistle, speaking of Romans, is the real chief part of the New Testament and the very purest gospel, which indeed deserves that a Christian not only know it word for word by heart, but deal with it daily and with daily bread for the soul. For it can never be read or considered too much or too well. And the more it is handled, the more delightful it becomes. I love this line. He says, the better it tastes. So let's go on a journey this morning. And let's taste just a little passage of this book of Romans. And let's see what it tastes like. Before we go on to the scripture, on the back of the notes that you got today are a list of it's not an exhaustive list, but the references that reference hope, that speak of hope. Now, this will give you a little hope. We're not going to read through them all today. But it's for you to take away and for you to kind of read them and study them and let them go in your heart later on this week as you feel the Lord leading. So let's take a look at Romans chapter 15, verse 13. This powerful little verse nestled towards the ends of Romans. Paul writes it. He says, and it's a prayer for the church. He says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a great verse that is. What a great verse that is to us today. And may we leave here today understanding this. This word hope, it's different for us in our language. We use it for all sorts of things. We say, I hope the movie is good, or I hope the sequel is as good as the first one, or I hope it doesn't rain, or I hope the sun shines, or I hope it doesn't snow, or I hope the food is as good as it was last time, or maybe some of you, I hope Jason doesn't preach as long as he did last time. And we use hope in a negative way or in wishful thinking. Well, I hope it happens. But the Bible doesn't use this. Paul is not using this word hope as something that is, maybe. It doesn't speak of it this way. There's no maybe or what if feel to the hope in the Bible. You can look through the Old Testament, the New Testament, and you'll find that hope is a very strong thing. It's a dependable thing. It's a reliable thing. It's something you can anchor your life to. So the question this morning for me and for all of us is this: what is our hope anchored to? What is our hope fastened to? This is the question all of us who follow Jesus need to ask ourselves, not just once, we need to ask ourselves this, our whole journey of our Christian faith. What is our hope anchored to? This is an important question because of this statement, that our hope is determined by the reliability of the object in which we are placing it. Our hope is determined by the reliability of the object we are placing it in. Because you can hope in whatever you want. We have free will. We have free choice. Hey, guys, you can do whatever you want. I guarantee you. God won't stop you from doing what you want. But if the object of our hope is not reliable, then our hope is also unreliable. And the dependability of whatever we are putting our hope in has not just an impact, it just doesn't influence, it's the actual substance of what our hope is made up of. It is what our hope sits in. But on the other side of Romans 15, verse 13, it speaks of this thing called trust. It says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you what? Trust in him. So that you may overflow with hope. So the key to the second half of the verse is this little word that we use all the time called trust. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. So that, trust is the key, so that you may be filled with hope and joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. Something very significant, because what is good? What good is it if something is reliable, if it's good, if it's true, if it's credible, if it's wonderful, if it's beautiful, if it's powerful? All that sounds great, but if we don't position our belief in it, if we don't trust with our conviction that it's true, it's of no use of hope because we just don't believe it. And what does it matter if God is good or if God is kind or loving or just or forgiving or trustworthy? Concerned for us, unless it's going to shape our relationship with him. Our whole life is shaped by this relationship we have with God through his son, Jesus. And the key of that is this simple thing called belief, trusting in God. And the one thing that determines our relationship with God is our faith, is our trust. Do we really believe that God is who he says he is? This is the core of actually the whole belief system that we walk in. Do we really believe that God is who he said he is? Do we really believe God is who, when we open the Bible, we begin to read of this incredible, wonderful God, is that really what he's like? Or we're confronted by circumstances around us. And what's the first question? Well, if God was this, then this. And immediately we call into question what we read in the Word of God. Immediately we question who God really is because of what we see with our physical eyes or what we experience in our life. This is a normal journey. It is not meant to condemn any of us. It would be to condemn and hopefully, not condemn, but hopefully convict me in my journey, because it's tough. If we believe that God is who he says he is, then his reality, not our reality, not what we can see, is able to shape our lives and the expectation in our hearts towards any circumstance we're facing in our personal lives or in the world around us. When we place our trust when we put our faith in the reality of God and who he is and who we read that he is and who we experience that who he is, something in us happens. There was a poet in the mid-1800s. Her name was Emily Dickinson. She said this, "Hope is the thing with feathers." I love that picture. It lifts us. It sees past what we can see with our physical eyes. It draws from the reality of what is not seen and infuses it into our different perspective. It puts us in us. It's like Isaiah 40, 31. This is a perspective we long to walk in. But those who hope, who put their trust in the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. There is a promise here. But those who put their hope, their trust in the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. Your perspective will change as we put our trust in God. Faith and trust are the one thing that unlock the promises of God. But I wonder if there's some of us here today who maybe we've felt like we've descended a bit from soaring with the eagles. I know I have. There are times in my life that I realize, man, my perspective needs to change. I'm seeing everything it's not right. It's affecting my heart. It's affecting my psyche. It's affecting how I process my life. And maybe some of you here, you do feel like you've descended. Or maybe some of us feel like we've hit rock bottom. Paul's whole ministry, the one who wrote Romans, was infusing hope into the church. If you were to read the prayers of this man who passionately loved Jesus, who passionately engaged with this God that he allowed to transform and change his life from a murderer to one who would lay his life down, eventually in 65 AD at the hands of Nero in Rome, and he was murdered. He was always encouraging. He was determined to give hope to the saints who were being persecuted and killed for their beliefs in Jesus. I read this commentary this week that said, it was talking about Paul. He said, "This is a man who sealed the words of his letter with the conviction of his own blood. He believed in the hope that he spoke of in Romans 15, 13. And he was writing to a church that was being persecuted. It was being killed. It were being burnt at the stake. They were being crucified upside down. But their hope remained." It's mind-blowing. In the Western church, we have such a hard time understanding this. We're confronted all the time with a prosperity gospel that says, as you just believe enough, you'll always have enough money. You'll never go through anything hard. You'll never have to struggle because everything is good. Tell that to the New Testament church. Tell that to the disciples, that each one of them laid their life down and were murdered and martyred for the sake of this precious gospel of Jesus Christ, and their hope remained inside of them. We're a part of a church family where situations for hopelessness confront us every day. This is life, or Jeff spent 3 weeks on it saying wilderness. We go through it. It happens. Paul was constantly reminding the church, listen, guys, trust in the mercy of God. Trust in the love of God. Trust in the kindness of God. Trust in the discipline of God. Trust in the goodness of God, the mysteries of God. Through pain, through sorrow, through questions, hold on to hope. As I was looking at this week and I read Romans 15, 13, may the God of hope. What does that verse mean? In Iraq? What does that verse mean in Syria? What does that verse mean to families, Christian brothers and sisters who are suffering tragic things at the hand of persecution? What does hope look like for them? What does it mean to them? I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer today. But it's understanding the essence of real hope. My friends, hope is not in this world. It's not in this. It's not in stuff. It's in the cross of Jesus Christ that will lead us from this life in pain and sorrow and tears into the next. And that's why it says that heaven is a place where there is no more tears, sorrow, pain, or sickness. That's the hope I look for, because this world's not doing it for me. Now, is God the God of the impossible? Yes. Can God heal us? Yes. Can God deliver us? Yes. Does it always happen? No. My hope is in heaven. My hope is in eternity. Mankind has a 100% mortality rate. But somehow in us, we try to ignore it, fight it, deny it. My hope is in heaven. My hope is in Jesus. My hope is in the cross. Paul was constantly reminding the church of God's hope, of God's love. Hope looks different in each of our lives. There's no cookie cutter life for Christians. I wish, but there's not. But there's always hope. Charles Spurgeon said this about hope. He said, "Hope itself is like a star, not to be seen in the sunshine of prosperity, and only to be discovered in the night of adversity." That's hope. Like a shining star that is bright and gleaming. As followers of Jesus and those who trust in Jesus, there is this thing in us called faith that chooses by the grace of God to reach deep into the darkness of our lives and grasp a hold of the promise that God said belongs to us. That's a promise of eternity. That there's a greater reality than what we can see, and that is heaven. God is the God of hope for each of us, my friends, who gives us strength, who gives us determination, who gives us power. God himself is the source of our hope. Nothing else. We can't earn it. You can't muster it up. We don't come to church to appease a God who demands our attendance. We don't read the Bible because we have to and God will strike us if we don't. We don't pray because it's a religious act or a hoop we jump through to please God. No, we come to church to experience, as we did this morning, the God of hope in our midst of believers who gather and God's presence comes. That is why we come. We come to church to experience to the God of hope in the midst of each other. All of a sudden, something in us begins to rise. Something through worship begins to build. We read the Bible to find and be confronted with an overabundant source of hope. We pray to engage with God, whose very substance is hope itself. And then he infuses that into us. The prayer of Paul gives us what he wants to put in us. He wants to put peace. He wants to put joy through the power of the Holy Spirit. This book that we hold today, my friends, 2 Timothy 3:16 says that everything in this was God-breathed, which really means by the Holy Spirit, written. And these words that we read and we indulge in and we devour, these are the words that will sustain us. These are the words that will lift us no matter what we face. These are the words that will fill our souls with hope and with life. Does God speak to us prophetically? Yes, he does. Does God speak to us just like I'm talking to you? Yes, he does, and he can. But this book is the primary means of how God communicates to us. He gives us hope. He reveals himself to us. He transforms our minds and strengthens our spirits in every situation. He anchors us in this thing that Paul said, may the God of hope. If we want to know what the God of hope is like, because I sure do, then let's read this book. Let's read the life of Jesus, how he interacts with people, how he heals the broken, how he gives the rejected a safe place, how he challenges the religious and the oppressors. Do you want to know what hope looks like in a broken life, or for your broken life, or for my broken life. Look at the woman in the Bible who's consumed with a sickness, an issue of blood, the Bible calls it, who had lost all hope, who had expended everything she had, and she found it in the hem of a garment of a man called Jesus. Or the woman caught into adultery that was one word away from being stoned and killed, and she found it in an intervening rabbi that walked up and totally gave her hope and set her free from her destiny of death. Or the man who was being crucified next to Jesus. You ever thought of this? Just a few breaths away from eternity, and he found hope in Jesus, and Jesus said, "Today, you'll be with me." Look at Jesus on the cross, taking away the sin of you and I, the sin of the world. He made a way for you and I, for him to live inside of us. What a mystery. Jesus, totally God, complete deity, lays his life down, and he lives inside of us. Paul calls it this in Colossians 1:27. He says this, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery." What mystery? Christ in you. The hope of glory. Glory meaning eternity. Christ in you. The hope of glory. The very substance of hope lives in you and I. And through the cross, Jesus gave it to us. This is a hope that keeps you, that guides you, that sustains you in this life into eternity. And we're seeking to be a community here at Faith Bible Chapel that's full of hope. But what does that look like? If we want to see what it means to be a hope-filled community, look at the churches in the Bible, Ephesus, Corinth, Colossae. You'll find a common theme in these communities, and just so you know, you'll find it also in our community. You'll find people who are broken, people who are getting things wrong, people who make mistakes, people who fight, disagree, gossip, sin, who have relational breakdown, and Paul does this ridiculous thing. He calls them saints. What? Remember Christ in you. The hope of glory. He continues to infuse hope into their brokenness and reminds them that the God of hope is at work in their lives and to hold on to him. There's no other source of hope for you and I. And if our hope is determined by the reliability of what we're putting it in and the act of believing in it, the question is this: how reliable is God the Father? Who in his very nature is perfect, never changing, faithful, loving, caring. How dependable is God the Son, who laid down his life, who left heaven to become one of us and die in our place? How dependable is God the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and continuing throughout our time, baptized people through the power of the Holy Spirit, but through the power of himself, making them witnesses and infusing them with supernatural comfort, with gifts to communicate the word of God, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to live overcoming lives pulsing in us. How reliable is that? We can reflect on our journey of life, and all of us can say, you know what, I've failed God. I've let him down. I've failed him. I've disobeyed him. I've been faithless. But my friends, God has never let us down. He has never walked away. In moments that I felt like God was far off, guess what? He was always right there. It was me that had moved. It had me, my perspective had changed. And the Bible has pictures of God. It says that he's an anchor. He's a rock. He's a fortress. He's a high tower. He's a defender. He's a mountain. Man, that's good. These are the pictures that speak of dependability and reliability. This is our God. Nothing else in the world is worth putting our trust in. Nothing. It's all failed us. Not a bigger bank account, not a better title, not a bigger house, not a bigger boat, not a new job, not more stuff, not more things. Jesus said in Luke 12:15, he said this, he said to them, "Watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Our hope isn't there. Because you just have to invest in your 401k and you'll realize that it's squirrely. It moves all over the place. You don't know what it's going to do. My hope doesn't lie in my 401k. My hope lies in Jesus Christ. There's a story that I read in the Fox's Book of Martyrs of this man named Thomas Hawk. Him and six other men were convicted of treason because of their belief in Jesus Christ. And they had these six men in a back room, and they knew their fate was to be burnt at the stake, but they weren't moving. They'd held on to their faith. Each one of them was given an opportunity to recant on their faith. And they said, no. I believe in Jesus and his resurrection power in my life. So they were in a back room and they said, Thomas, you're going out first, and we're scared. And they all talked and they said, Thomas, as you're being burnt, if God gives you the grace to endure, lift your hands above your head. So they said, okay, we'll do that. They come and they get Thomas and they take him out of the room and they lead him to the stake with chains. And they tie him to a stake and they light the flame. And the other six men watch. Thomas isn't moving. And they're scared and they don't, what does this mean? Thomas' body begins to be consumed by the fire, and he doesn't do anything. His skin begins to burn and fall off of his body. And out of the flames, two hands shoot up into the air. And he just doesn't put them up in the air. Thomas claps them three times. And he puts them back down. And he's promoted to the hope that he held on to. That's hope, my friends. It's not in this stuff. It'll disappoint you. People will betray you. Pastors will disappoint you. But your hope is found in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ alone. There's this old hymn, and it speaks of the hope of Jesus. It goes, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And the verse goes like this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen? Come on.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.